there's a woman named Anna Noyes, who's the author of a book, Good Night, Beautiful Women, that's gotten fantastic reviews. She's been written up in the Wall Street Journal as an up-and-coming writer. New York Times loved her book. And I think she's online with us, and she's someone who's a main writer, I should say, and real excited how the success that she's having. Welcome.
Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's fantastic to talk with you. I just recently read your story, Homecoming, which really is just beautifully written. And I'm excited that you're going to be coming to Bangor to do a reading. I think it's on Thursday, August 18th at 7:30 p.m. at the Rock and Art Shop in downtown Bangor. And I really, if you want to see a writer of national reputation, this is your chance to see one live here in Bangor. And I was wondering, Anna, if you might tell us a little about your connections to Maine. And I think you live in New York now, but tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe how Maine relates to your writing.
Yes, I'd be happy to. So I was raised in Maine. I actually moved here with my family when I was two, which I think, as any local Mainer will tell you, makes me not from Maine, you know, but it's all I've known as I was growing up. And I, from two on, lived in a little coastal peninsula town called Sorrento, Maine, so across the bay from Bar Harbor. And it's about a 250-person town in the wintertime and about 1,000 in the summer. So, you know, I grew up here and just, you know, very imbued by the beauty and sort of strangeness of this state. And I also have a sort of unique window on this state because my grandparents were summer people here, and my town is such a summer town. So my grandparents were the first to winterize their home, and I was the first of my family to live here year-round from, you know, a young age and sort of grow up here. So I have a window on both the summer world and the winter world, and
both of which interact and change each other each summer. When every time I go down to the coast, you see so much of a dramatic difference between those two times of year.
Yeah, so it's a very sort of you see both worlds in play quite a bit, and so
Well, I was hoping you might be willing to honor us with just reading a paragraph or two from your story, Homecoming, if you might be willing, and then we'll talk a little bit more after that.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll just read a paragraph from the beginning, if that's all right.
Great.
I moved back to my hometown with my husband, which was my first mistake. Actually, at that point, he wasn't my husband, so we're married now. I wanted to be claimed as a wife for the sake of my own tenuous survival. In those early days in Maine, I often envisioned walking into the bay, but that sounds more poetic and energetic than what I really felt. Mostly, I wanted to slip down the shower drain or hibernate for the next 5 years until I was prepared to be a wife and mother and was used to the fact that all my friends lived elsewhere and it was just me and Bruce making meal after meal and eating them on the couch for the rest of our lives. Right after the move, I started to wash my face with oil, thinking that since I was back in rural Maine, I should milk goats and throw away my harsh facial soap. The oil cleansing covered my face with tiny bumps that I spent hours researching online. My research suggested that the phase I was in was generally considered a purging phase, so I kept washing with the oil through fall until the texture of my skin was completely altered. In my phone's photo album, hundreds of pictures of my own face taken to document the purge, replaced pictures of friends and beaches and Bruce and me on mountain summits. These were the pastimes of that fall, the oil and watching a show about brides-to-be trying on wedding dresses while Bruce worked at a wine shop where they'd get him drunk sampling wines, and then he'd drive the hour back to my town leaving. A couple of times I got up the courage to confront him about being drunk. He hadn't been drinking. I wasn't any good at telling the difference between Bruce sober and not, and he seemed drunk to me.
Thank you.
No.
Continue.
Just one small paragraph more.
Yeah.
For exercise and sunlight, I dressed each afternoon in a pair of men's jeans that I imagined a Maine farming woman might wear, lathered my erupting skin with makeup, and braided my hair so I could walk to the end of the driveway and collect the Rite Aid flyers from our mailbox. I had to get Rite Aid in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. You need that.
Essential made winter moments. Yeah.
So I really enjoyed reading this story, and I will say, and it's been noted by some of the reviews also that I've read, that it's not everything you write that's related to Maine is pretty picture postcard. There's some challenging situations that people face.
Yeah. I mean, I was just sort of trying to depict with as much honesty and, you know, as closely aligned to the truth as I had seen it, of my experience in Maine. A range of the experiences there. So, yeah, I really didn't want to, you know, wasn't aiming in any way, and I don't think I could, to write a beach read or write a sort of picturesque rendition of Maine, even though I've seen that a lot, you know. But
there's a lot, and it's been commented upon, that you write that relates to tough subjects, incest, rape, sexual guilt, things like that, and you said once, I think the quote, I think women's sexuality and shame come hand in hand in this culture. And certainly there's some of that throughout your stories. Maybe you can talk about that. And also I want to know what you mean by this culture. Is that American culture, Maine culture, world, what culture?
Yeah, I think I meant American culture. But, you know, I mean, people are continuously asking me or talking to me about how dark the stories are. And how upsetting all these experiences are. And I think, you know, I just, in an effort to write sort of honestly and pulling from the weft of my own experience about women's bodies, the stories became very dark. You know, and so I think, yes, they are dark, but I think they're also reflective of a reality of how much transgression there is against young girls, against young women, that our bodies, in writing about our bodies, a whole range of experiences, some of them quite dark, come onto the page. And I don't think that's not reflective of a certain slice of reality. So be it. It might be dark, you know, but it's also, I think, not necessarily untrue. And important maybe to have this range of experiences seen as opposed to sort of swept under the rug. So I didn't even intend really to write a book about transgression against the female body. I was just trying to write about the female body, and it sort of naturally arose that many of the stories have this darker element to them. But
Well, in my reading of it, though, it kept me very engaged because it felt very real, and that was something I found satisfying about the stories, that I wasn't being phonied to. I was connected to something that actually happened and mattered. Now, also, it seems like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when I read these stories, you talk about transgression, but it's also, it's not stereotyped in the sense that the women themselves engage in activities sometimes that might be deemed or considered by others anyway to be transgressive. So there's edges all around.
Trying to write about a whole range of sort of desire and transgression, and to write about these experiences certainly from the inside, certainly in an inhabited or embodied way from the woman's perspective, you know. So you get all sorts of sort of urges and complexities when you do that. And I do think there's some nuance on the page.
I also think that there is something, and that's why I asked the question about in this culture, that for male behavior, even what I'm talking about, generic, not, you know, criminality or anything like that, but that... Right. That with men, things that are accepted with men are not accepted with women and women's sexuality, but are run in the mill with men, and that divergence is something that I think runs, at least in my mind, throughout this book, that what men are allowed to think or sort of accepted to think is not something that women are allowed to or accepted to think.
Absolutely.
In some way.
And I think you see that in literature, too. I mean, I think it's rare to see the female body depicted with sexuality and sensuality and yearning and, you know, ugliness of some sort or et cetera on the page in a way that we've seen men's experiences depicted it time and time again. And I think it's sort of lost its ability to shock us or make us recoil and just sort of reads as like great literature, part of the human experience, you know. And when a woman goes through a similar thing, I think it's read as a particularly, you know, edgy or sort of upsetting event. But I think it's just because we don't see it as much as we should, you know. So I hope these kinds of stories continue to be told. I'm going to keep reading them.
Now, you've had sort of a home run here with your writing, and I think you went through the Iowa Writers Workshop. Can you describe for those of us who aspire to writing or have an interest in writing, I'd like to certainly see it cultivated here in the culture of the state of Maine, to say, you know, how did you do it? Where did you go? What were some of the pragmatics of becoming the professional writer that you are?
Yeah, so, you know, I come from a family of writers. My mom is a beautiful, unpublished as of yet, but I think it's coming, novelist. And I have journalism in my family way back. My grandparents were editors of the Washington Star paper. So in that realm, I just have always been in a supportive, very creative family. But I went to Mountain View Middle School in Franklin, Maine. You know, I've always been writing there. And I went on to write through high school and then in college, and just never ever seeded that dream. You know, I think it helped to have a very supportive family. And I always knew what I wanted to do, and I never considered really doing anything else. And so I had after school 1 year in between college and applying to the Writers Workshop. And in that year, I did an internship at McSweeney's Publishing House in San Francisco, which I think was really, you know, for me, helpful just to be, I was reading submissions to their literary magazine and just sort of imbued and inundated with other people's writing. And you get a pretty good ear for what is strong and what is not, just trying to call that huge slush pile.
Well, you've been strong, given the glowing reviews that you've gotten. And for those of our listeners who don't know, it seems like the Iowa Writers Workshop is something of a mecca. So did you find that experience valuable? Is it as fantastic as it seems like people imagine it to be? And do you think that really helped you with your development into this new stage?
I do. I mean, I think, you know, they say, even the people who run Iowa say you can't really teach writing. Like, they sort of pick you up with some sense of that you could succeed well, and then they just like feed you and pay for you to be a writer for a couple of years, and it's sort of this vote of faith in you. So I don't know that I did a huge amount of writing during my time there, but I think I was sort of growing and forming as a human there. And you get to read the best writers around, you know, and study with them, but also your classmates are just remarkable writers who have yet to be made into household names. And so that was a beautiful element. And I'd say if you aren't going to the Hour Writers Workshop, the biggest piece of advice is just to be reading widely, strangely, which I'd been doing from a young age. So that's what I think really made it possible for me to write. The workshop just nurtured me and, you know, kept me cozy for a couple of years to sort of get my bearings and go out into the world afterwards and try this in a sincere way. So, yeah, I mean, it was immeasurably helpful. And I met my agent there, and, you know, anybody who can have the time and space to do a writer's, an MFA program, I would recommend them just for funded writing time, which is so rare. And some of the best ones, most of, you know, there's many programs that will fund you. That's a bonus.
Where you're going to be speaking August 18th, 7:30 p.m. at the Rock and Art Shop in downtown Bangor. Is this your only stop in Maine, or are you going to be speaking elsewhere as well?
No, but I did a whole Maine tour a couple weeks ago, all up and down the coast. And so that has, for this round of things, that's over. But I may add on a couple dates around the Bangor event since I'm coming back for it. I mainly just need to sit in the woods for a while and like hibernate and try to write something new, because I've been to Maine. This is the first summer I've come to Maine and not actually just, you know, hidden from the rest of the world. So
you live in Brooklyn, is that right now?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, that's a contrast from Sorrento or Brooklyn, Maine, for that matter.
It is. I know. I was just back in Maine and I ran into someone I went to school with and I said, I'm from Brooklyn. And they were like, oh, those places are so beautiful. I love Brooklyn. And I knew they meant Brooklyn, Maine. And I lied. For some reason, I was like, it is beautiful. I couldn't admit that I was in, you know, the depths of Brooklyn, New York. but it is very different, and I think, you know, in terms of getting the book out into the world, I was living in Maine, actually, after Iowa, and sort of caught up in the romanticism of the state, which is so seductive even to me, having grown up there, and the romanticism of what, you know, what I was supposed to do as an adult woman now at 26, and I had to sort of flee that to get my life back in order and to get the book the momentum that it needed to come out into the world. So,
are all these really stories in your book? Well, many of them are, but are they all set in Maine, or I don't know? Is it?
They are, or they could be set in the New England landscape. You know, I didn't intend to write the book with everything set in Maine, but I was just writing from my own experience and with these places that I found naturally evocative from living in Maine. And then there were a couple that were not set in Maine that didn't make it into the collection. So I think it's really cohesive now and has a sort of sense of place that builds with each story. Mostly Maine or New England.
Well, this is a fantastic work, really amazing. Can you give us a hint about what you're working on now, or is it too early to say?
Well, I've been waffling with it, but I am in the emerging stages of working on a novel. And it's also set in Maine, and it has some of the similar themes that you might recognize from the book, mothers and daughters and sort of recluses, lady recluses, and escape and sort of characters chafing against their lives. And so
it's
still very much at the beginning, but.
Well, I was really impressed with Good Night, Beautiful Women, and look for it. I hope our listeners will come down to the Rockin' Arch Up in downtown Bangor Thursday,
yeah,
August 18th, 7:30 p.m. and hear you. And you'll have a chance to, will there be a Q&A with your reading as well?
Yep, there'll be a Q&A and then followed by a signing, and they'll be selling books there too.
Well, fantastic. It's a real honor to have you in Bangor, and hopefully it encourages other folks who are aspiring to writing to meet you in person.
Absolutely. I'd love to talk to them. It'd be great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.